this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
So tonight, we're going to do things a bit a different way. If you haven't been to church this entire month, then that's quite sad. But we have been speaking about where to get involved, what we are doing as a church, and because our focus for this year is for everyone to stop doing everything and everyone just to do that which God is calling them to do. So for that one or two things to really get involved, whether it be a small group leader, whether you're on the band, whether you join the setup team, or you are just a CEO of your company, not just you're a CEO of your company, and whatever it is that God is calling you to excel in and His kingdom to come in, we are focusing for everyone to just do that. And nothing, no extra church stuff, which is great, but it just sort of distracts us and takes our time and not help us to do what God is calling us to do very effectively. So tonight, we're going to continue on that basis. If you've missed the rest, just go download the sermons, shofaronline.org/Pretoria, all right? And so tonight, we're going to speak a bit about the student ministry and missions. So we're going to start off giving some feedback of the mission teams we've sent in December last year. We sent three teams. So we sent a team to Durban for the Matric Rage. We went to go party there. Don't put up your hand now, all right? Just kidding. Not really. And then we sent a team to Lesotho, a big team of 28 people who then split up. A team remained in Semongkong, and one split up to do various different stuff, but I'll allow them to share with, they will share with you about what happened. And then we sent a team to Myanmar as well. It's not Myanmar. All right, they don't have an R in the Burmese language, it's Myanmar, okay? So we sent a team there, so we're going to give a bit of feedback about what we did, ultimately with the cause to convince you to join us to where we are going next. So as soon as we've given feedback, we'll share about where we are going, and for that purpose, if you are sitting in this place, God has called you to go on missions, amen? Amen? Ah, that sounds better. All right, I need to see all of you at Let's Go Training. I've got a photogenic memory, so I remember faces. All right. And then afterwards, we're going to speak a bit about the student ministry. So we've got a lot of videos happening tonight and some different people speaking, which is great. So without further ado, let's, Mishka, if you can come and share about Durban. Let's give her a hand. And she will share with you about what they've done. Thank you, Mishka.
Hi, guys. So we were about four people that went to Durban Rage from Shofar Pretoria. We joined with the Bloemfontein team, which made us a total of 17 people. So we're quite a big group. We were camping, so that was a challenge on its own, but it was quite fun. Our main objective was to just spread God's love and to show people that you don't need to get drunk or high to have a good time, and that you really can just be yourself and still have a good time, and just to show people how much God loves them. So what we did is, early in the mornings, we would have praise and worship at our campsite. It was open for anyone to join. And then we went to the beach. We played some games, interacted with some of the matrics, and then invited them back to the campsite for more praise and worship if they wanted to. So at the evenings, we had quiet time before dinner and Bible study, where we learned a lot and we really grew as a group and as a team. And then from 1:30 to 3:30, we went to the clubs. From there, we would just circle the block and just in groups of two and just talk to people and pray over the area. And wherever God sent us, that's where we would go and just tell people who we are, what we do, and just see where we can help them and how we can help them. So we had two healings, and that was quite interesting. In our campsite, we met a guy that had a knee injury. It was really bad. He couldn't walk without his crutches. So we prayed for him, and his leg got completely healed. He walked away without his scratches, so that was quite cool. And then the last night at the club, this one guy, he fell off the stairs inside the club, and he was screaming for help. And the music was really loud. We couldn't hear each other speak, but somehow some of our team members heard this guy scream. So it was obviously God letting us hear him scream help. We carried him out of the club back to the combi, gave him some Oros and biscuits. his ankle was really badly injured. It was really swollen and was kind of turning blue. So we talked to him a bit and prayed over his ankle, and it turned out that his life is a complete mess, and that he wants God back into his life. He just doesn't know how to do it. So we prayed for his ankle. The swelling went down. And then he wanted to do the salvation prayer of us. So he rededicated his life to God. And yeah, he got saved that night. So that was quite cool. And he was able to just walk away from everything with just like a sprained ankle. So that was quite cool as well. And yeah, it was just a really fun mission. It was a really good mission. And we really learned a lot. And you really grow as a person as well.
Thanks, Mishka. Let's check the video.
Good evening, church. I'm part of the team that went to Lesotho. So we were initially a big group that went to Semongkong, and then there was a team that broke away a few days later, but they're going to be after me. So we were really part of quite a big group. So it wasn't just our church. We were a few people from Shofar, and then the majority of the other group was people from every nation, because the Semongkong Hospital Trust sort of birthed out of a guy that was in every nation. So what was really cool is just that we got to minister with other churches, which I know that Shofar doesn't do a lot, or especially in terms of the Let's Go missions. We do minister with our church, but not really others. So it was really amazing to just see the unity. Like, the leadership prayed so much for unity beforehand. So when we got together, I mean, it's a group of 120 people. I think the youngest guy, well, there were families with children, and then the youngest guy was just finished matric, and then, I mean, students, young working people, and all of us just got along so well. So how it worked, there were different ministry teams. So I'm an occupational therapist. It sort of made sense for me to be part of the medical team. But I didn't think much about the logistics of how it was going to work out. When we got there, we heard that the medical team, all of us, we're not allowed to do our profession there because we're not registered under their medical board. So you kind of go there thinking that you're going to make a difference in the people's lives the way you do here, and then you can't. So, yeah, as a whole team, we were really challenged on the first day that we couldn't do what we thought we were going to do. And like, I was just convicted that I didn't ask God, what am I supposed to do? I sort of just assumed. So the first day we got to the clinic, and now we have to, because from Semongkong Trust side, they want to build a relationship with the nurses, because at the clinics there, they aren't doctors. So the nurses do the diagnosis, they give the medication, they do all the treatment, and it's quite hectic for them. So yeah, from Semongkong side, they want to support them in that way. So we had to do what the nurses asked. And for myself and Shirley, she's a dentist, and another guy that was a physio, we were told we must do education with the people in the waiting area. So we did that, just finding that they already know everything we've come to teach them about. So, yeah, the first day was quite discouraging. At the end of which, I just like told the Lord that I'm just giving him everything and asking for what he wants to do. So the next day, he gave me the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:7, that says, we live by faith and not by sight. I'm like, okay, cool, we're going to live by faith today. So we went back to the same clinic, did the same education, felt a little bit useless again, because I didn't see what, you know, you don't see what's, how you're impacting. And then just before we left, I really felt the Lord saying, ask people if you could pray for them. So I did. And quite a few people put up their hands. So we just started praying for people waiting to go to see the doctor. And there was this one lady that came in. I'm going to tell two stories if I quickly have time. There was this one lady that, she just came in. She wasn't in the waiting room. So she came in. We prayed for her, did the salvation prayer with her, prayed for other stuff as well. And then when we looked again, she just wasn't there anymore. So, she didn't go to see the doctor. So we don't know where she came from, but, she met with Jesus, and, we didn't see her again. So that was just pretty, it was a bit mysterious, but divine intervention. And then there was another lady that Shirley prayed for. She had, chains around her ankles, and she asked, actually, if we could pray for swelling in her feet. And as Shirley prayed for her, she really just felt the Lord saying that she needs to ask her if she can remove the chains. So she did, and the lady said yes. which was really cool. So she removed it and she prayed, and the swelling was better. I'm not sure if it was gone completely, but it was better. And she just prayed for her not to put her trust in other things. She needs to put her trust in the Lord. So, and then later we remembered that Birgit received a word that morning to say that in that day God's wants to remove chains and shackles off people's feet. So that was really cool because it wasn't like a spiritual, it was physical. Like we literally removed the chains from her ankles. So, so the rest of the week we again did the education. But for me, the most significant part was that we got to pray for people. So it was like, okay, education is just a formality to sort of get the in. And then we just prayed for people that was waiting to see the doctor. So, it was really a cool mission. Okay.
Great. Let's look at the video. Great stuff. Who's sharing for the other Lesotho? See, Heinrich. Like Heinrich.
Hello, everyone. So I was part of the breakaway team. So basically, we partnered with the other Lesotho team. And then after about 3 days, then we went to the next town. Okay, and then there, we partnered with the church. But what was really cool was, like, both the team that was part of the trust, even the trust, they partnered with a local church. And then we as well, when we went to the next town, like, we partnered with that church. So then basically, since we went on the breakaway, every day it sort of was the same routine. We would wake up. Then just spend some time with God on our own, then as a group worshiping, and then we had a service where Kobus teached, and then after that we would have like children's ministry, and then from there we would go to like a next door village, but it's close by sort of, so then we would go there and then we would go into the village. We would first meet with a chief and then ask for permission to go into the village. Then we would go and like evangelize, so, like fully on evangelize, go talk to the people, tell them about Jesus and stuff. And and then after that, we would invite all of them to come and watch the Jesus film. So then we had like a setup and everything showing the Jesus film. So it was really cool. There was a few like really cool stuff. There were so many like healings and miracles and stuff. Like I will never be able to share all of it. So that was really cool. One crazy thing that I've never seen before, which was really cool, like the last night, the very last night when we tried to share the Jesus film, there was just a bit of resistance, and we could feel it before it even happened. Like the morning, Neil and Reto was in the intercession team. They told us like tonight things are going to get a bit hectic on the spiritual side. And then when we got there, we could feel like it's not too lekker. And then when we started setting up, there came like this dust cloud. Like I don't even know how to explain. So basically, we have the camp here, and then there's mountains this side and mountains this side. Okay, but just a bit of background. Like there was very big drought there because it's high, it's in the mountains. There's not a lot of clouds and stuff. So it doesn't rain that much. So we prayed a lot for the rain. So then, like, it was crazy. Like, there was just this dust cloud coming towards us. And if there's, like, a dust storm, then obviously it would be difficult to share the video. So then we were just praying, and it was really cool. Like, the whole team just got together, and we just stood like this. And we were praying. And the wind was coming this way. And then 2 minutes later, the wind went that way. So then the dust cloud went that way. And then this dust cloud was coming our way. So then we stood like this and we prayed here. But nobody even said, okay, team, let's go and pray. It was just the unity. We just went and boom, we prayed against the dust cloud. And then we got more resistance from the chief. So the chief was busy getting drunk in the Shabin. Actually, while we were like going into the village and stuff. So like, he has given us permission, but then because he was drunk, he didn't like what was going on. And then he just told us, no, we have to leave immediately. So we had to submit, and we packed up and everything, and we went back. But it was just crazy, like, something I realized afterwards. The next morning, it rained. And for me, it was just really cool because that wind, it was almost like the enemy wanted to, like, bring the dust cloud But then we stopped at Dutch Cloud, but then he actually brought the rain to the village, which was really cool. So it was just the way that God used like just using our prayers and stuff. So that was really cool. Something else which was really cool, and for me, like, I always want to, whenever I do something, I want to understand what I'm doing. Like, I don't just want to do stuff. It doesn't make sense to me. I want to understand what I do, why I do it, and everything. So, because we partner with the church, whenever we go into the village and we tell people about Jesus, we partner with a translator. But the translator is in the church. So they see exactly who we talk to. They know exactly what we spoke about. So then afterwards, they follow up with those people. So if we had like 2 days to go evangelize, then we would speak to the same people, you know, and then the translator would be there. And then afterwards, the local church will then follow up to those people so that we don't just come and, you know, Jesus is Lord, and then they're like, thank you, you know, say the salvation prayer. Because a lot of times they can say the salvation prayer 100 times. They need to be discipled. But so we were sort of just like the first step. We would go out and help the people to take that first step. And then from there, the local church will take them further. So just a short testimony, which was really cool. So Marana and I, like, we went to evangelize. And it wasn't going so well the first day. Like, and we were walking through the village, one house, next house. Then we were walking up the village, and almost on the top of the hill, there was a village there. And when we got there, it was a bit weird. Like, the people were, I don't know what exactly was going on, but I could feel that something is weird, but, like, that was never our focus. Our focus is really the people and their hearts and sharing the gospel. So we just shared the gospel, and they were listening and stuff, and the one guy was just like, I've got a headache, can you pray for me? And we were like, yeah, we would love to pray for you. We just want to finish sharing the gospel. But they were making fun of us and laughing at us and stuff, so they weren't really paying attention. And then only afterwards we realized, like, they were actually busy drinking, so they sort of had a headache from all the alcohol. So, yeah, when they didn't get healed, like, I was like, what's going on? But then afterwards I realized, okay, but, yeah, there's not really that commitment from their side. But then the next day we went back, our follow-up, and the head of the house was there again, and we spoke to them again, and I asked him, what can you remember what I shared with you yesterday? And he was like, no, not much, eh? So I had to sort of share everything again. But then he started to click what we were saying, and they really understood, like, what we were saying. And then the head of the house and his wife gave their hearts to Jesus. But as I said, like, it's only that first step. Like, it doesn't mean they're going to walk around, like, you know, sharing the gospel. Like, it's that first step. From there, the local church will do the discipling and teaching them what it means, what the gospel really means for their lives. And then later we learned that was the initiation house of the village, which is really cool because that's just the first step. And it's like the biggest initiation house of the village. So it's really cool that house, with the head of that home, took that first step. So that's just something that was really cool. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Heinrich. Let's look at the other Lesotho video. Great. And let's quickly look at the last mission video from Myanmar. Great stuff. Just shortly on Myanmar, just want to add on what was said there is, it's great just to see whether to Myanmar, Lesotho, wherever you go, you see God working. And as much as He wants us to do stuff for Him, which He doesn't, He wants us to partner with Him because, believe it or not, we learn most when we go over there. Yes, there's a blessing, there's an importation that happens over that side, but we come back changed. I remember on my first mission trip to India, that's really where I saw the gospel in action, if you want to put it in that way. Yeah, we hear there's power in the name of Jesus, but would go to a very dark and desperate place and just say Jesus, and then you see the most amazing stuff happening, because then it's sort of the practical happening of what we learn here, mostly in theory. So I want to encourage all of you, if you have not yet,
join us on missions. In July, we'll be going to Lesotho once again. If you want to go there, get a warm jacket already. It will be very cold. We'll be going to Malawi, as we do every year. And we'll be sending a team to Nepal as well. That's, if you don't know where that is, it's just south of China at the Himalayas. All right, so join us. Pray about it. Just pray, Lord, which of the three teams do you want me to go to? Not do you want me to go, all right? But let's just set out the time to really pray about this, and let's get involved. We do have some requirements for you guys to be part of our teams, especially for Nepal and Malawi. We do have our Encounter Foundation series. We do require you to have done up to F5 to join us on missions, but do not worry. They will all be hosted before the mission teams leave. So if you're serious about going, there's no excuse for you not to do it. And also one training day, one Let's Go training day on the 2nd of May, that's a public holiday, we'll be doing the training for the mission, getting to know one another well as well. So do diarize it. All those dates are on our church calendar. So have a look at it and go register for it at shofaronline.org/Pretoria. And then you will get involved, get all the info. You'll be able to register for the mission teams by tomorrow afternoon. So do check the link and do register, because I can promise you one thing. You will not come back the same person. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's missions. That is one of the places, of the many places you can get involved. This is one where a lot of us sitting here are so passionate about, because our lives have been changed. And yes, you go to the toilet in interesting ways. You do eat some really nasty stuff. But it's all for the name of Jesus. And it's all just about dying to yourself. All right? So if you want to be a good Christian, go on missions. Yes, I said that. All right. Student ministry. For those of you who don't know, we have quite a lot of students. If you're a student, just quickly put up your hand. Let me just see how many students are here. All right. That's almost all of you. Who's got family sitting here? Like, no, not who's got family. Who's like Yaku? You married and have children? Hello? Awesome stuff. So we've got a mix, but I'm speaking to all of us in this place tonight, so not just the students, so don't fall asleep just yet. We minister in various different ways. As obviously on the doorstep of Tux Campus across the street. This is one of their campuses, and God has entrusted us in ministry to really get involved and to get to young people as young as possible. We firmly believe the younger you get them, the better. That's why it's so important for you as a parent and for Yaku and for Ed, for you guys to raise up your kids in the way that God has instructed us, and for all of us who will be parents one day, to do it as a young age as possible, because you know what? They will not depart from the faith. There will be discipline, there will be tears, there will be gnashing of teeth, but it's all for the glory of God, because they will not depart as the years go on. So we try to minister as much and as effectively as possible, because we read together out of Psalm 71:17. O God, you have taught me from my youth. To this day, I declare your wondrous works. In Scripture, there were so many young people who changed history, who started the church. And with the obvious one, let's start with Jesus' disciples. How old were they when they started the church? You guys know? Not 60, not 50. When Jesus approached them as his disciples, they were teens and in the early 20s. That, in other words, is the youth and the students. All right, so Jesus' heart is to get us at a young age as possible, because we're fervent, we're young, we run at an amazing speed, and I believe it doesn't slow down as you grow older, it only goes faster. Look at Yaku, he's old, but he runs at an amazing speed. Just kidding, man. He's only, what, 41? I love you, man. And so Jesus took hold of the disciples at a very young age, and he freaked them out with what he said. He changed their professions. He changed them from what they were busy with life as they knew it. He turned it upside down, but for the better. And they started the church. They pioneered the movement that Jesus entrusted to them, and we are here because of a couple of young guys that Jesus approached. So just imagine what we can do to this world if all of us really say, Lord, I give you my life. If we really, really mean that. and walk into that, into the fullness, to wherever, to whenever, and however, that we allow God to change our lives upside down for what He wants to do in us and through us. Timothy, another one of the young guys, one of the young leaders, he writes in 1 Timothy 4, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. When doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So God is calling each and every one of us to walk into the calling which is placed on our life. God has placed a gift in every single one of you. He is calling you to something very specific, all of us. Doesn't matter your past, doesn't matter your experience, doesn't matter if you even know Him. He's calling you as His son and as His daughter to live for Him for His name's sake. If you're sitting here, especially a student, and you're sort of new and don't know where to get involved, we do outreaches in as many and as often as possible in the residences where we do worship and ministry nights. We've got small groups in most of the residences. But if you don't know about it and no one has contacted you or you're new, just fill in a card for us. We'd love to draw you in, because I promise there's a small group near you for you to get involved. And then also on campus, we reach out weekly and just ministering out there. We've got yet another short video just to show you what the Shofar Society is and how we reach out on campus. So let's look at the screens. So the Shofar Society, Shosiety, is the registered society on campus which gives us as a church the open door to minister, to use the venues, to do all of the stuff we do, how to do relationship week and all of that. So before I forget to share this, as we leave tonight, if you're a student, you are morally obliged to need to fill in a form for us, please. Just for us, our society, to continually be registered. We need to do this annually. So if you've done it last year, you need to do it again. Please, so if you have a student number, please fill in a form for us so we can continue sharing the gospel on campus. It gets more difficult every year, but hallelujah, right? It just means we get better fruit from it. So every week they reach out. So if you're on campus, on main campus specifically, and you want to get involved, just talk to any student as we leave this hall. They'll draw you in, simply add you to a WhatsApp group, and there we organize. It's like a living organism of where the outreaches meet every different day, every different time. And just, I'm so encouraged by the students as they really just run this thing. On their own. Last week, Friday, when the protests got quite violent and out of hand on campus, they were the guys standing there praying, ministering, doing street evangelism. And so if you want to sort of get involved in a positive and proactive way, join campus ministry, join the student ministry, which we have going, and be part of it. Give us new ideas how to reach even more students wherever we go. And we want to be able to do what we do on main campus, on all of the 5 campuses. So if you hear from the medical campus or from Amalodi campus or from Groenkloof, just come, get involved, help us to do this, because we do need at least 2 people, all right? Then that shop, from there on it can grow. So do get involved with that, and as we grow, and I hope by seeing these videos and hearing all the testimonies that it's not just my word, but everyone that has shared how they experienced God. I want to encourage all of us. Let's get involved. Let's join missions. Let's join the student ministries. Let's just not be a student. Let's be a Christian student. All right? Let it not be about the studies. Let it not be about doing well. Let it be about God's kingdom coming. You know what the word of God says? Seek first the kingdom, His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. So if you are stressing a lot about your exams, it's your own problem. Seek first the kingdom of God. He will add the pass unto your life. I'm a living testimony of that, and it's half of the students here I know are living testimonies of that. So the more you get involved with that which God is calling you towards, equips you to do the rest. I'm not saying don't study. I'm never said that. So don't say, Christy said I don't study. Don't say that. I'm saying do study, but study after the outreach. All right. That's pretty much what I'm saying. So get involved. We are mostly students here. And then for those who are not students, I won't talk about Jaco again. If you are here and if you guys are young working, you've got work experience, you've got the expertise. When the students are done studying or they're sort of in the final year, they have no clue of what the working world is like. So how you get involved in the student ministry is by opening your home, opening your workplace, opening your brain and your skill set to them and teaching them, showing them what you've learned. Because I don't believe in you learn from your mistakes, you learn from someone else's mistakes. All right, so let no student go out there and make mistakes. Let them learn from yours, because I'm sure you guys made a lot of mistakes. So let's all be part of what God is doing. And if you have a nice home, you have a nice food, all the students are hungry, I promise you that. Invite them over for food. If you are older, you've got life skills, you've got wisdom, you've got knowledge to impart. Show them your kids, and they'll remain single a couple of years longer. And so let's really... Let's open our lives and our homes to the students and let's share that which we have learned. Amen. So I'm really talking to all of us, not just the students. Let's all get involved so that we all can reflect Christ as quickly as possible as we learn from one another. Because Jean, as good looking as he is, that's not how Jesus looks. But collectively, we resemble Jesus because we're all made in God's image, right? So if we look at all of us, this is what God looks like, not just one man. So let's work together as a community of believers, as the church. Let's open our homes, whatever it is you have to offer, and let's learn from one another. And let's get involved. So this year, don't do everything. Do that one or two things that God is calling you to. You go pray about it. And speak to your leader, speak to whomever you need to speak. Get out of what you are doing. Don't just leave. Just give a month or two for someone else to fill your place. But let's really just be proactive in following God and His call alone in this year. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand as we pray. Band, you can come to the front, please. Father, we thank you for your love, Father, and that your desire is for every single one of us as your children to follow you, to hear your voice, and to know your call. Father, I pray for us, Lord, that perhaps we've forgotten that call, or perhaps we've never heard it. But I pray, Lord, that you would speak so clearly, Lord, to us about where you are calling us to what we need to do this year, Father God, where we can get involved to be you. In the lecture rooms, on campus, at our workplaces, at our families, at gatherings, wherever it is. Father, I pray that you would free our hands to only be busy with that which you're calling us to. So I pray for effectiveness. I pray for passion. I pray, Lord, that where you've placed us, that we will resemble you well, Father God. That people will be able to see Christ in us. Father, the more than we will ever need to pray for someone, people will look at our lives and say, we want what you have. So, Father, come and fill us again. Holy Spirit, come fill us again, Lord, with a passion and a desire to know you. And, Father, we just tonight declare, Father, we want to give you all that we are. It's difficult, Lord. What we have is good, but, Lord, I pray that you'll show us that who you are is better. Bigger than we can ever attain on our own. Pray, Father, that your kingdom will come in this year, in our lives and through it, as it is in heaven. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org. or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like you.